anyway, I'm just telling you all that for a reason, because I've got something else I got to tell you. God does that a lot of times with me. He doesn't necessarily do that a lot with Scotty. If he does with you, listen, God is talking to us all the time. We are the ones that have to be discerning enough to hear it and to know who it is that's talking to us. And I don't know about y'all, but I have been praying here lately, God, help me to discern more. Help me to be quicker. Help me to be sharper. Help me to discern, God, what is the enemy. Help me discern, God, when it's you. Because just like I told y'all, that whole process of getting my Mavericks, which is sunglasses. Anything you have right now. Anyway, which is sunglasses. I just call them that, Mac. I don't remember where I was going with that. But anyway. All right. So I have something that I need to tell y'all. Before we get started on what I'm going to talk about tonight, there's some teaching out there that you really need to stay away from. And what it is, it's a teachings, some teachings about grace, the grace of God. And they're teaching in that because now that we are under the grace of God, not, they had grace in the Old Testament, but it's different for us now. We don't sacrifice bulls and animals and all. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But this teaching is about the grace of God, and they want you to not read the Old Testament. They say because we're under the grace of God, we don't need the Old Testament, we shouldn't be reading the Old Testament. But I'm here to tell you that's wrong. That's false. I can't tell you, you'd have to get your concordance and look it up, how many times the New Testament, even Jesus himself, when he was over there with the devil, he quoted the scripture to the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That was in Deuteronomy 8. So, I mean, if Jesus is talking about it in the New Testament, God had it written for us. Hebrews talks a lot about the Old Testament Christians, you know, the things they went through. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. It says that because of them, this was written for our examples of how not to be and do, of their unbelief, right? So you know that can't be right. So if you hear any of that, you know, just discard it because it's not good. We need the old. We need the new. Now, title tonight. I believe I can fly. Ooh, sounds good, don't it? It is good. Y'all remember, y'all might not remember, Sunday I mentioned something about I was watching a movie and they was kind of like, they needed to know Kung Fu right quick, so they just plugged them in the back of their neck and just downloaded Kung Fu, and they come out all over the place, climbing on the walls, whatever. I'm sitting there and God is like, I can do it. And I'm like, what? I can do it. What I'm going to be talking about tonight is I've had to renew my mind to a little bit of this stuff that he's been telling me. And you may have to renew your mind tonight. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you what happened. And I've got scripture and all that. You're going to have to choose what you do with it, right? So, title tonight is I Believe I Can Fly. Now, y'all that have been at Sunday school, y'all know we've been on So or So's the Word, that parable for, what is it, 13, 14 weeks now? Scotty said 6. He's a little behind. I think Sunday may be 14. We're going to still be on that, I believe. But anyway, it's been a while. And I have been endeavoring. God told me at the beginning of the year, you know, go back old school. Go back and do the things that you used to do, you know. And so I'm reading the New Testament with y'all. We got our papers back there. I read the Old Testament. I got a little calendar thing, reading the Old Testament in a year. And then I've got certain scriptures that I felt led of the Lord to write down. And then I also have a little thing, little card thing that I read Psalm 91 every day. Well, I'm trying to make a long story short. Aubrey here a while back, she got the head lice. And if y'all have ever had the head lice, you know you don't want it. That stuff's of the devil, you know. But anyway, she got the head lice. And I wasn't necessarily scared of the head lice, but because I had been reading Psalm 91, y'all know what it says, right? No plague come nigh thy dwelling. I'm not afraid of the pestilence that flies by day, nor the arrow that flies by night, and all that, you know, and long satisfied life, all this stuff, you know, and everything. His angels charge over me and everything. Well, when she got it, I went out there, and I went to hug her, and I caught myself. And I looked at her, and I was kidding with what I said, but I caught myself because I was fixing to hug her. And I said, oh, no, I'm not hugging you. And I could see it on her face, like it was going to hurt her feelings or whatever. I said, come here, Grandma's just kidding. And I hugged her. Well, my mind is saying, oh, gosh, you should have not have touched her. You know you're going to get that head lice. You know, I thought you lined up. Well, then later on, something else would come up. They would get sick or something other, you know, and I would go to hug them or touch them, and I would catch myself. they would be something there, I'd be like, you better not. And I would catch myself, and then I'd be like, I'm not going to yield to that. What's the matter with you? And I would go on, hug them, kiss them, whatever the case may be. I'm telling you that for a reason. I have been on Psalm 91 every day, just about. Sometimes giveaway messes me up, but just about Psalm 91, I read that every day. And I don't just read it. And I put my name in there. I put me where it says certain things, you know, or whatever. I've taken that for myself. Why? I believe Psalm 91. Now, to get to this part. Okay, I'm believing Psalm 91. And every time something would come up, you know, kind of like them. Aubrey had a real bad experience, allergic to bees and all that, you know, and it got her in fear. She had to have 15 shots in her arm and all kinds of junk she had to go through. And then her terrifyingness jumped off on Aiden, you know. They see a bee and they're like, Grandma, Grandma. And I'm like, listen, I know you feel scared, but act like you're not. You better hear what I'm telling you. Every time I would go to touch them or something, when she had the lice or they was sick or something, I would go to do it. And all of a sudden, it was kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. Why? Because there's something in here that ain't supposed to be. So I thought, okay, I'm going to solve this problem. Every time I would feel that, I did the same thing that I told them. Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't touch you. I feel like I might get it. But I don't go by how I feel. I go by the Word. And the Word says, no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. But see, every time I would exercise that, I'm defeating that fear. COVID did a number on the church that some of us don't even realize happened. Hayden got something the other day, and Travis said, you might need to stay away from him. I said, come here, baby. I said, Grandma's not afraid of you. And I hugged him. But see, before that, I would have been like, on the inside, don't do that. But see, you can't keep going and believe no plague's coming now you're dwelling. You can't do that. You can't have it. You're double-minded. You can't have both. And sometimes, like what I'm talking about, you have to exercise that and exercise that. No, I'm not yielding to you. Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you are afraid. You can feel fear, but the Bible says submit to God and resist the devil. Fear is of the devil. Resist that fear. Go on and do what you would have done if it was not there. I had to bring that up for this reason. Now, because we've been on the Word, and sower sows the Word, and all that stuff, and I don't know about y'all, I think so, but I have been learning stuff and doing stuff and everything, and I told you about the Psalm 91. Well, Wednesday night, Brother Brad preached, and we got home, and I'm sitting over there on my couch, and all of a sudden, I had this thought. Now, last year, I think it was in the year before, every time them kids, they come to our house every Tuesday, and every other time they can sneak out there, you know, or whatever. But it was like every time them kids would get something, me and Scotty would get it, especially me, every time, no matter what it was. This year, it's not been like that. I'm doing a little different. Number one is Psalm 91. Well, anyway, to get on with my story here, I told Scotty Wednesday night, I said, you know what? I said, we hadn't got not one. Then they've had a few sniffles or a couple of things that's come, you know, or whatever, but we didn't get it. And I told him, I said, you know, we've not got one thing them kids has got this year. Not one time. I said, I believe Psalm 91's working, don't you? Him over. Yeah. Think no more about it. Go to bed. I'm fine. Scotty's fine. Travis is fine. Beth is fine. Aubrey's fine. Aiden's fine. Y'all seen us Wednesday night, right? We're all fine. I get up Thursday morning. I have a bad headache, and I am aching from the top of my head to my feet. By the time I get to the kitchen, I realize that I am aching all over. Well, I go on, you know, I take Aubrey to school and all that. Go back home, take me some Advil and everything, lay down, wake up. My clothes are wet where I had been sweating. It was 69 degrees in there, so it wasn't heat. Well, Scotty comes home Thursday evening from work, and he says, I need you to look at the back of my leg, the back of his right leg. He says, something matter with it. Look at it. Well, I looked at it, and he's got and a little place on his back. He's got a little rash, like a few little red bump-like things, and I thought, might be heat, you know, because it's been warmer, and he sweats quite a bit, you know. So we didn't think a whole lot about it. Well, Friday morning, Beth calls me and tells me Aubrey's not going to school today. She's got a little fever and she's hurting. And then later that day, she had some body aching and stuff too. Y'all follow my story. Then, so that was Friday. She didn't go to school Friday. Then we got Saturday. Then we got Sunday. Sunday, Scotty's leg is so bad in his back, we wrap him up in Ace bandage to get him here with his clothes on, so y'all don't have to endure that. But anyway, to get him here with his, because he can't wear his clothes. They hurt so bad. So we Ace bandage him up, you know, and all that, and y'all see him. He comes and preaches, you know, and all that stuff, and I'm coughing and everything. Everything by that time was gone. And see, I thought about not coming to the ladies' meeting. I thought about canceling it. I thought, because I don't want to spread nothing around. Then my next thought was, I can't give them something I ain't got. Did y'all hear what I said? Now I'm coughing and all kinds. I ain't got this, and I know it. I know the difference. Anyway, so Sunday he preaches and all that. We go home. That's why we don't have practice, you know, because he can't hardly stand his clothes on him. Well, Monday, they come out to the house, and now Aiden, you can tell by looking at his eyes, this boy, he's pale. In his eyes, he looks so weak. He's just laying around and all that stuff. So anyway, they take Aubrey and him to the doctor. Scotty goes to the doctor Monday. Now, what tacked me? I have no idea, and I don't care. Scotty goes to the doctor Monday. He's got shingles. By this time, he's having electric shock impulses down his leg and stuff, you know. And Aubrey, she's got hand, foot, and mouth disease. And Aiden's got strep and flu B. Didn't none of us catch nothing from the other one? Y'all hear what I'm telling you? By Monday evening, I'm sitting there, and I've been praying, God, help me be more discerning. And in my heart, I just knew this is an attack of the enemy. And I heard this. Do you really believe Psalm 91? And I said it out of my, I said, yes, I believe Psalm 91. I live Psalm 91. I believe Psalm 91. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed, and you're the one trying to make me sick, and I resist you, devil. I don't take your crap. Now, why do I say that? That's not just something you say. Beth, could you put up James 4:7, I believe it is. See what the word says about it. 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. See, a lot of people like to quote the scripture, resist the devil and he'll flee. No, no, baby, you better read the first part of that verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Put up 1 Peter 2:21. I mean 2:24, I'm sorry. This is the submission. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, healed. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, see, in order for you to submit to me, you must become in agreement with my word. When you come into agreement with my word, then you resist the devil and he'll flee. Do I still have symptoms? Yeah. But there's a difference. It's not in me. I know the difference. You know what I'm talking about? It's not in me. It's like it's out here attacking me. But it's not in me. There's been other times it's been in me, and I felt sick, and I'm sick, and all. But no. So if you're going to resist the devil, you first submit to God. The first way you submit to God is get in agreement with his word. See, and I felt this in my heart, that some people are, God can't do certain things because you think you ain't dotted every I and crossed every T, and he's not like that. God is God without you. All he needs me and you to do is believe him. If we believe him, we will obey him. Right? Anyway, to finish up on my story here. Now, Monday, go to the doctor. Aiden's got strep and flu B and Aubrey hand, foot, and mouth thing. And Scotty's got shingles and all that stuff, you know. Anyway, so I go to pick her up for school. What's that, Wednesday? Yesterday. Now, I told you God deals with me. A lot of times he speaks to me through movies and different things like this. Y'all ever seen that movie? It's called Bumblebee. Tony, I thought you saw it. Anyway, y'all ever seen Transformers? The movie Transformers? Okay, they have like two or three of them. Well, this is, y'all remember Bumblebee on Transformers movie? He's a yellow Camaro. Woo! Well, in Bumblebee movie, he is a little yellow beetle bug. He's not the Camaro anymore. Well, anyway, I'm trying to make a long story short. This girl, she wants a car and everything, and he is he's a Transformer, and right now he's like the little beetle bug. Well, he's got to help save Earth because Optimus Prime and all them ain't come to Earth yet. He's the only one down here. So he's hiding out in this junkyard or whatever. Yeah, y'all help me out here. In the junkyard, well, this girl comes across him. She's 16. She wants a car. She's friends with the guy owner. She goes in there and asks the owner, look, can I have this car out here, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she gets the car, making a long story short. Well, before this, he had got, there's two bad guy Transformers down here on the Earth, and he had gotten a fight with one of them, and they had grabbed him right here and ripped out his voice box so he can't talk anymore. So anyway, she gets the car, you know, and all of that stuff, and she's driving it down the road and everything, and she turns on the radio. Well, a little while later, the radio station starts changing. I can't remember now the song that would play, but it'd play a little bit of a song, and it's Bumblebee that's changing it. It'd play a little bit of a song, and then it would change stations and play another part of a song, and then change stations and play another part of the song. Well, later on in the movie, he tells her, thank you for helping me find my voice. He couldn't talk anymore. But when she turned the radio on, it was the way he could talk. And it was through songs. I had to tell y'all this for this next part. I hope this is making sense to you. Anyway, Tuesday morning, I get up. And I'm fixing to go pick Aubrey up for school. And I hear this. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. What are you laughing about, Monty? I've got to keep on moving. And I'm like, what in the world? I mean, just, it's not me. Over and over, down in here, over and over. Oh, I can hear the song, the music, the whole thing. That's the only part of that song I heard. And it was just over and over and over and over. Nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. Oh, no, I've got to keep on moving. I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, we're saying this. We're saying this, you know. So anyway, I go on, you know, and me and the Holy Ghost, he's my best friend. And we're just singing that, you know, and I get in the truck, and I get halfway to the road to turn to their house, and I'm singing that, nothing gonna break my stride, nobody gonna slow me down, oh no, I've got to keep on moving, I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky, and instantly, I saw Bumblebee, the movie, where Bumblebee is talking to the little girl through the radio. I said, I hear you, Holy Ghost, and I know what you're saying. See, God wants to do amazing things in our lives, but we got to believe Him. And whenever I heard that, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch. I knew what he was talking about. And I was reminded what I told you about climbing on the walls and downloading the kung fu and all that. See, some people think it's crazy. It's not crazy. Absolutely. See what sometimes happens to us? You take a baby Christian, they get born. Oh, they just believe anything you tell them and everything they read. Then some of us, we get saved 20, 30 years, high and mighty, bills paid off, don't need nothing, don't see God moving. Why? Because we don't believe. The Bible says, come to Him like a little child. Aiden believes whatever I tell him. Whatever I tell him, Aiden believes it. Now, Aubrey, she's on up there, and she's always been a little heady, a little intellectual. She got to figure it out for herself. Is it really red, you know, or whatever the case may be? We need to be like little children whenever it comes to God. Well, let me go on my notes right quick right here. Make sure I didn't miss nothing on this. Yeah, that was Tuesday morning, blah, blah, blah. The Bible says nothing is impossible to him who believes. And so we, right, yeah. I feel like I need to pray in tongues to express this to y'all. I really do. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Listen, if I need to walk on the water, I can walk on the water. If I need to climb up the wall, I can climb up the wall. If I need to hang upside down on the chandelier, I can hang upside down. Do you understand what I'm trying to? God is beyond what you can think or you can even ask. But he says it's according to the power that is working inside of me. All he needs is me to believe him. God's want to do things for us, great and mighty things for us. The Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. Who believes what? That God, you can do whatever I need you to do. His name is I Am. I mean, are you serious? They come to Jesus to take him, and he said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I Am. Y'all remember what happened, don't you? Oh, they all just fell back. Why? They heard I Am. What's that mean? I Am your healer. I Am your provider. See, God don't want you just to know his name's Jehovah Jireh. He wants you to experience Jehovah Jireh. He's named that for a reason, because Abraham seen him provide. His name is El Shaddai. He's got a lot of different names, but every one of those names, they show you a part of God's character. Now, I wrote this stuff down. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. And there's scripture for this, but I'm not going to do your homework. Y'all go look them up. All things are possible to those who believe. Did y'all hear what I looked up the word all one time. It means all. All. I'm talking about things that is absolutely amazing. All. He said all things. All right, y'all remember the story of Philip being translated, don't you? Y'all remember that? It's over there in the book of Acts. Go read it sometime. What happened was Philip was out there, and he was walking everything, come across what the Bible calls this eunuch, and he's reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah. And the Lord tells him, go join yourself to him. What he means is go up there, talk to him or whatever. So he gets on there with him, and he starts explaining the book of Isaiah to him. Then they come to some water, and Philip baptizes the eunuch and everything, and then the Bible says he was translated just like this. He was standing right here, Mac, and then he was saw in Antioch. If I need translated, I don't know how God does it. Do you dematerialize? What happens to you? I don't know. I don't care. I don't need to know. All I need to do is believe him. God, if I need to be somewhere and for some reason I've got to be translated, so be it. God, I believe you to do it. Whatever I need you to do, God, you'll do it. Now look at, put up John 15:7 for us, please, Beth, right quick. While she's doing that, I'm going to read some more things I got here. Stephen was translated. Y'all remember the story about the Red Sea, don't you? That's an amazing story. I mean, you're talking about walls of water that divided. The wind blowed them, divided them, and then they held on each side while you've got over 1 million people walking through it. By the power of God. And Moses didn't do it. All Moses done was what God said. God said, stretch out your rod. Y'all just see that? And it just parts. And you walk through on dry ground, and then God tells them, these enemies of yours, you will never see them from this day forward. The Bible says God took off the wheels off their chariots, and he drowned them. Pharaoh and the captains and the commanders and the horse, he drowned them all when they got out there in that water. You think you got enemies? You need something done with them? Just tell God. He says here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Y'all read that next part for me. Did y'all get that? He didn't say ask God. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you, Mac, you, Johnny, you, Samantha, you, Teresa, you, Sandy, you will ask what you will. Now, see, this takes some mind renewal. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Y'all remember the lion's mouth? God sent an angel for Daniel, don't you? He got thrown in there for praying three times a day, and the Bible says that God sent an angel that shut the lion's mouth. These is amazing things. These things don't just happen. Then I wrote down here, y'all remember they was out there in the wilderness and they got water out of the rock, don't you? Oh, yeah. Manna out of heaven, right? They didn't know what it was. It was some kind of flaky stuff, but evidently it had plenty of vitamins in it. And God rained it down on that. Could you just see a loaf of bread and a pack of bologna coming out of heaven? He can do it. He will do it. If you believe it. Now, who ever seen an axe head swim? They don't supposed to swim, Johnny. Now, my mind could maybe comprehend a little float and something happened to float, but no, the Bible says it swam. I don't know what happened. Maybe on both sides it just got some feet. I don't know. I don't care. My job is not to figure out the details. My job is just to believe God. Whatever he says, I just believe it. Well, that guy had borrowed an axe. They were out there working, chopping down trees, and lo and behold, I guess when he went like that, and it went that way and fell in the lake. And I believe it was Elisha, if I'm remembering right, that they went and told it happened to. Elisha cuts a stick, throws it in there, and the Bible says the axe had swam. And they went over and they picked it up. I forgot, he said a lost master is buried. He had buried that. That wasn't even his axe. And he goes over there, they swim to the top, and he goes over there and he picks it up. Then you've got, I was talking to God yesterday when he was showing me all this stuff, and I'm like, I was fixing to say, God, the sky is the limit with you. And he's in me, so he knows. He said, no, it's not. I'm not. He said, I have no limits. He has no limits. He said, my only limit is your unbelief. I can and will do anything that you can and will believe me for. He said, we are his only limit if we limit him. Isn't that what the Bible said for the children of Israel? It says they turned back in their hearts and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit him? They just didn't believe what he said. They looked at the circumstances. They looked at the situation. Looked at how long their bodies have been that way, whatever it was. But he said he has no limits. Joshua. This was something. Now you got to realize what I'm fixing to say, what all this affects. Joshua speaks to the sun. Don't say God doesn't. I just read it. It says Joshua speaks to the sun to stand still. Why? Because he's opened a can of whoop on somebody and he don't want it stopped yet. So he speaks to the sun and he says, stand still. The Bible says the sun obeyed him and it stood still until he got all of them took care of. Now, just think about that. You're not just affecting the sun. You're stopping time. You know what that means? You're going to affect the whole universe and everything in it. You're going to affect the sun, the stars, the moon, everything in the planet. Why? Because time is standing still. Because Joshua spoke to the sun and said, stand still. And it obeyed him. God brought over 1 million people out of Egypt. Now, when you think about it, But no, think about it. Think about those people. I'm sure there's old people. There's young people. There's middle-aged people. There's teenage people. There's probably babies. There's probably pregnant women. I mean, you got over 1 million people. There's probably in every category. Now, what you got to admit, these people were slaves for 400 and something years. You know good and well they don't go to the dentist every 6 months and get their teeth clean. Y'all not saying nothing. You know good and well if they get sick, they ain't going to no doctor. They're slaves. I could just imagine some of them's probably crippled. Some of them probably broke up where they've been beat and they've been whipped. They are slaves for 400 something years over there under these Egyptian people. And God loaded them up and brought them out. And you know what he says? Not one sick, not one weak, not one feeble among them when they come out. Just imagine the miracle that had to take place for that to happen. And not only that, when I think about it, I mean, it's just hilarious. God tells him, he says, go get some vessels from the Egyptians. They go over and tell them, I'm paraphrasing. I can just imagine them Egyptians saying, here, take our money, take our debit card, take our jewelry, take our silver, everything we got, take it and get the blank out of here. Why? Their firstborns has died. They've had 10 different plagues that God has brought, locusts, frogs, River Nile turning to, all kinds of things that God has been doing. And Pharaoh just now seemed to get the clue. And everybody in there is saying, take your stuff and go. Get out of here. Get away. So they didn't come out, Mac, with just being healed and whole. They come out rich and wealthy. The Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. That means they took all their stuff. Can you see what all God had to do that? Oh, do you realize one word from God can change your life? One intervention of God can do, just absolutely amazing stuff. I wrote the stem. Now, we all know the story. They come out. How many members? They refuse to walk and live by faith. Faith is trust. See, I don't know what the future holds tomorrow, Matt, but I know my God who holds my future. And I know that He loves me. He loves me so much He gave the best that He had for me. So therefore, He's a good Father. And I know whatever it is that I go through, He'll give me the grace to go through it, overcome it, endure it till it ends, whatever the case may be. He said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But they refuse to live by faith. Faith has trust in it. Faith believes. Whatever God says, it just believes it. Faith trusts God. And they refuse to do that. When problems came, their feathers fell. Y'all know what I mean by that? Out there in the wilderness. Well, whenever they rode back the Red Sea, they get over there and the Egyptians get killed and all that. And Miriam gets the tambourine choir together. Woo! Hallelujah! Lord has killed all of our enemies. And y'all read the Bible, don't you? Yeah. They're dancing. They're praising. Woo! God's good. Thank you, Lord. We'll never see these Egyptians again. Hallelujah! 3 days goes by. Just 3 days. And y'all better look at yourself, because we're no different unless we choose to be. Flesh is flesh. 3 days go by and they thirsty now. Aiden says thirsty. But anyway, they're thirsty now. They're in the wilderness. They ain't no restaurants over there. They ain't no Walmarts over there. They ain't nothing out there. Desert. What'd they do? Oh, God. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We was better off. We're going to die out here in this wilderness, God. Moses, I told you to leave me alone. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Ain't that what they said? I'm paraphrasing. Ain't that what they said? 3 days is all it took them. And they just seen a king and his whole army defeated. And 3 days later, we're crying, we're whining. My feet hurt. I'm thirsty out here, and it's hot out here in this desert. I told you to leave me alone. I didn't want to come out here to start with. You liar. Yes, you did want to go out there. You were slaves, and you wanted to be free. Didn't you want to be free? Didn't God save you and set you free? Woo, and we praise the Lord. And then the first sign of trouble, oh, God. I thought serving you was going to be a rose garden, God, and all my needs was going to be met, and I was just going to walk in the glory till I was glowing all the time. I don't know who told you that, but if they did, they lied to you. But now God is just as much. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same God in the Old Testament. What He did for these Egyptians, He is the same God that we serve today. Then you go on out there and they're whining, they're complaining. So what's God? God gives them water out of a rock, right? Oh, they get filled up. What happened? Oh, yeah, God, we knew you was going to do it to start with. Glory, thank you, Lord. Just had a moment there, you know. Then they go on and something else happens. Ah, so God sends them meat. They ain't had no meat to eat. Oh, you poor thing. You're just going to starve to death with no meat. So they ain't got no meat to eat. What's God do? He sends them quail. He said, you're going to eat this right here, and you're going to eat it and eat it until it's coming out your nose. Y'all go raid it. He said, you're going to eat it till it's coming out your nose. I could do without it, Mac. I'll just be a vegetarian if that's the case. Why did God do that? Because of their dogged determination not to believe him. He had no problem supplying quail. He had no problem giving them manna from heaven. He had no problem delivering. He had no problem doing nothing like this. But he's limited by unbelief. But he's freed up by believing. All right, now. We're going to have to all do away with the limits on God. Because God's got stuff he's wanting to do, and there's stuff we need him to do we don't even know yet. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. Hey, listen, I don't say this lightly. It's like with fear and trembling I say this before the Lord. Because I'm like, God, help me. Help me, God. I didn't misinterpret anything that I got or sensed or anything like that. You know, Lord, help me, don't go beyond what I believe you have said, but then also go far enough. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Because sometimes God can tell you something or you can get an impression inside and your head can just run off on a tangent. And God didn't say all of that. He just said this little part here. Anyway, I have been feeling like, and I feel like God is telling y'all this, for me to say this to y'all tonight, take the limits off of God. All limits. Believe God for the unbelievable. Believe God for the impossible. And so I told God today, me and him was talking, and I felt like he was saying that to me. And that he told me this verse in my heart. That for me to ask what I will, and he's going to do it. And I'm telling y'all that he's saying that tonight. Ask what you will, and he's going to do it. So anyway, I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm praying, you know, and everything. And all of a sudden, I get this impression that God's saying to me, ask what you will, and I'm going to do it. Whatever you ask me, I'm going to do it. But put up Psalm 34:7, please, Beth, I believe it is. But see, you can have a lot of stuff going on in your head, a lot of desires, wants, needs, blah, blah, blah. But there's something down in here, and it's usually not the same. And the down in here is what he's talking about. Nope, that ain't it. Maybe it's 37:4. Anyway, that scripture that I'm talking about, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. There it is. Had it backwards. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of your heart. I looked the word up, desires, and it says ask. But God was telling me today, not what's in your head, but what's in your heart. So I started praying in tongues, you know, because I'm like, I don't know what's in my heart, you know, whatever. So then I thought, so I asked God, I said, okay, God, you know, listen, it would be great for me if this church just glowed and we all walked into the door and the Shekinah's here so great, we just all fall out and he downloads everything we need. That would be a wonderful service to me. Because I think about y'all all the time, you know, or a lot. And I told the Lord, I said, okay, God, more of your presence and different things at church, you know, when I was asking for and everything. And when I said it, it was like, I felt like, that's not it. So I just closed my eyes and I started praying in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues, all of a sudden, I don't mean tears started rolling down. I mean it's like a flood. Tears just started running down my face. And right here, I felt something start moving, and it's moving up this way. And all of a sudden, I saw my brother's face. Now, for y'all that don't know my brother, I have a sister and I have a brother. My sister's Jeffrey's mom. My brother is Katie and May's dad. And my brother, he's in prison. He's been in there for over 6 years now. He was a Christian. He had been in drugs and different things, you know, like a lot of us, before he got saved. Well, then he said his tree rotted down, whatever that means. I guess it's something bad. And he got saved, you know, and he started coming to church here. Come to church here, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. Anyway, he had a desire in his heart, and I've talked to him about this a little bit since. He had a desire in his heart. He wanted a family. He wanted a wife and a home, and, you know, like most of us do, just be a normal guy, you know. love God, serve God, and got kids and have a wife, you know. But there was no women in this church around his age. Now, there was one, but she was married, so I think he went out with her sister a couple times. But other than that, no. And he gets this, my brother's always been a little stubborn. He gets this idea in his head, and he didn't tell anybody. As things starts happening, you tell somebody. The devil likes to keep things in secret so he can keep them hid. Well, he didn't say nothing to nobody, but he gets this idea in his head, I know what I'll do. I'll go back out into the world, and I'll get me one, and I'll bring her back over here and get her saved, and then we can have a life. Sounds all right, don't it? If you leave the scripture out, I can't tell you how many people's doing that stuff today. And it'll get you in trouble every time. Well, he went back out there, you know, and he's still coming to church, but he went to hanging around some of his old friends, you know, and girls. He never had a problem getting a girl when he was in the world. It's just when he got saved. Well, he goes out there, you know, and he gets him one. He brings her to church with him a few times and everything, you know, and seems like everything's cool, but it don't work out. And make a long story short, before you know it, he's not coming to church anymore, and he's out there in the world, and he's doing his thing, and he got caught up in the mess and the hype, and y'all know what goes on out there. And anyway, he got in trouble, and he got 19 years. So he's been down over 6 years, been gone over 6 years now. And I did not know that was in there, but God did. So down in here, I feel something moving up. How many knows your spirit's down in here? He's like at the core of your being. He's not in your head. And tears started running down my face, and I said, all right, God. I said, Lord, I ask you for my brother. Bring him home. Because he's got a long time. He'll be 52 years old when he got out. That's the same age I am. He's 40. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't care. That's not my job. Because, see, the devil will try to run you ragged with the details. What about this? How's this going? I don't care. All that's God's job. And all I can say is, on the inside, my brother's coming home, and it's real soon. I really, honestly, on this inside, I thought, gosh, am I going to be able to make it to church and tell this stuff before my mama calls me and says, they said come get you, boy. I mean, really, that's how it feels on the inside of me. Now, for this, because he got 19 years, he's only been gone a little over six. So y'all know he's got a lot more time. Now, the lawyer said 5 years and supposed to get his GED and go through this program and that program and now take time off. No, COVID hit. No programs. He did end up getting to go to GED school every now and then in between the COVID shutdown that they had at prison and all that. And he did get his GED, but the other programs and stuff. So he's still looking at a lot of time. But God. But God. See, I can't do that. You can't do that. He can't do that. But God can do that. And I believe because of what he told me, ask what you will. What you heart desires. What does your heart desire tonight? I'm not talking about your head. What do you desire on the inside, in your heart? God says he'll do it. I'm fixing to open these altars up, and y'all can come up here and pray. I don't know about y'all, but I had to repent because God has been tweaking my thinking, because it's like he's been saying to me, and he's saying it to all of them, come up hither. Come up hither. Come up here to another level and think on a level like I think. Now, when you get there, just look out. There's going to be another. Why? There's no ending to God. But he's saying to us, come up here and think like I think. Take the limits off me and think like I think. Believe me for the impossible. And I had to repent, Matt, because I hadn't really been believing him for the impossible. And I'm not just talking about believing to do something. You walk and you live by faith every day. It's not about necessarily you crossed every I, crossed every T and dotted every I in your relationship, you're perfect and all that. The Bible says when you believe God and you walk and you live by faith, it's counted and imputed unto you as righteousness. So as the messed up as you still may be, God counts it all righteous. Why? Because you're walking with him. You're believing him. So it's not about if you still got hang-ups, if you still got sin, or you still got problems, or you don't pray for an hour a day, or read 15 chapters. He's not talking about that. All that puts limits on God, and he said take them off. So I'm going to open these altars up. If y'all want to come and pray and ask God for the desires that's in your heart and talk with him, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Go ahead, Beth. Y'all just do whatever y'all feel to do. Beth's going to play us a song.